Today's text is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 18, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Hear the word of God for this morning. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was making more disciples and baptizing more than John, although Jesus' disciples were baptizing, not Jesus himself. Therefore, he left Judea and went to Galilee. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy some food. The Samaritan woman asked, why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go get your husband and come back here." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." "You are right to say, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus answered. "You've had five husbands, and the man you are with now isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth." This is the word of God for the people of God.
What a good time it was this morning. It's been a long time since I've had so much fun. Oh, hello. I'm glad you all are here. Sorry I'm a bit late. I was, as you can see, getting some water. Had gone to the well this morning, and the ladies and I, we got to talking and lost all track of time. So you all beat me here. But it's good to see you all this morning. I just want to share my story with you because it's an amazing story. First of all, let me just mention, I'm probably like most of you ladies here, I don't necessarily enjoy my chores. How many of you enjoy chores? It seems like every day I'm having to dust to get all of the dust off of the things in the house, and it gets kind of old. And I think really one of the reasons I don't enjoy my chores most of the time is, well, I do them by myself. There's no one here. It's quiet. And I get lonely when I'm doing that. But there's one chore I have grown to love. And that's going to the water to the well to get water. I love going to talk with the ladies and to carry on with the ladies and hear stories about their kids and about how they're doing, to share my stories with them, just to enjoy that fellowship. It's such a wonderful time. But you know, it hasn't always been that way. In fact, it's just been a few months since I've really been going to the well when the other ladies are there. For a long time, I would go when no one was there. I would go with when it was the hottest part of the day, when the sun was at its highest at noon. And it was miserable because it was so hot. But I would go because I knew when I went at that time, no one would be there. It hasn't always been pleasant to be around people. You see, I'm kind of known, or was known at least, in the community as what you might call today a woman of ill repute. Not a prostitute, but I had had several husbands. In fact, for a while, I was living with someone who was not my husband. And oh, how the people in town shamed me. I would go to the well, and as soon as I would arrive, they would kind of all gather on one side, and I could just see their staring glances, almost like a dagger pricking my heart. I could hear the whispers that they would share with one another as they would point at me. No one would speak to me. So I just decided I wasn't going to subject myself to that anymore, and I started going when I knew no one would be there. It was a lot easier. It hurt, but it hurt more to be ridiculed and to be ostracized, to be mocked, to be made to feel like I didn't matter, I wasn't worth anything. Sometimes I would forget. I would wake up in the morning and I would busy myself getting breakfast ready, and all of a sudden I would hear some of the women as they would walk down the street laughing and carrying on, and I would think, oh, I need to get my jug and go so I can get water. And I would run and grab it, and then I would make my way out the door, and as soon as I got out the door and they saw me, they would just immediately get silent and would even move to the other side of the road. Like if they were even near me, they might catch something. And so I would turn around and go back in and go back to what I was doing. One morning it was so upsetting that I actually just slumped there on the ground. And when I did, of course, my water jug just dropped with me and shattered to pieces. And I looked at the pieces scattered all over the ground, and I thought, that's what I feel like. That's how I feel. I feel like that shattered jug, my life just in pieces. And I had no idea how to put it back together again. One day I went, it was again noontime, hot. And I wasn't paying much attention. I was walking towards the well, and same route every day, and I could probably have done it blindfolded. So I wasn't really looking as I was going along. And as I got near, I heard a man's voice say, "Draw me some water." I stopped. I almost thought about turning around and going home. Because, well, to be honest, I thought if he was there at the same time I was there, he was probably not just expecting water. And I didn't want to deal with that. But something inside me encouraged me to engage him in conversation. And so I said, "Who are you? You're a Jew." Not only was he a man, but he was a Jewish man. "I'm a Samaritan. Who are you as a Jew to ask me to give you water?" And he said, "But if you knew who it was that asked you for water, you would ask him to give you water." And I said, "Who do you think you are? Do you think your water is any better than our ancestors, Jacob? And how in the world are you going to give me water? You don't even have a bucket or a rope." And I thought, why would he say he would give me water if he's asked me for water too? You know, that didn't make sense. And he said, "If you knew who it was that asked you, he would give you living water." And I thought, living water? What is living water? What does he mean by that? Something inside me said, "Ask for that living water." So I said, "Give me that living water, because I don't want to keep coming back here to the well all by myself day after day after day. I don't like being isolated and alone. I don't like coming when it's so hot outside. I want to be with the other women. I want to have an enjoyable conversation with those in the village. I want to be a part of this community. Give me that water." Then he got to meddling. He said, Go get your husband. There it was. There it was. All of this shame and guilt that I'd been feeling, all of this shame and guilt that had made me hide behind the doors of my house, all of this shame and guilt that had really made me hide from myself, and he was calling me out on it. Go get your husband. I hung my head and I said to him, I don't have a husband. But then what he said puzzled me. This man had never met me before. I thought knew nothing about me. And all of a sudden he was saying, you're right. The man you were with is not your husband. You've had five husbands, but he is not one of them. And I thought, how in the world does he know this? And so we began a conversation about the Messiah and about worship and whether it was right for people to worship in Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim, as the Samaritans believe. Samaritans had been waiting for the Messiah just like the Jews had, that anointed one to come from God and to restore our people. And eventually he said to me, I am he. I am the Messiah. Could he be for real? Could he really be the Messiah? This man that just happened to be at the well when I was there, this man that knew everything about me, this man that didn't seem to care that I was living in sin and shame. I was so excited that I ran back to the village. I left my water jar. I ran back to the village, this village that I had been avoiding the people because of how they made me feel. But I ran back to the village because I wanted to tell them about this man I had met. I wanted them to know that there was someone in our community, someone in our village who could tell them everything about them. And who claimed to be the Messiah. I wasn't sure if he was or not. In fact, when I got to the village and I said, come meet this man, he's told me everything about me. I said, can he be the Messiah? But you know what happened? They didn't walk to the other side of the road. They didn't turn and look at me and stare and point fingers and whisper. Instead, all of a sudden, I had this crowd of people gathered around me to hear my story about talking with this man. And before I knew it, they were off running to meet him themselves and inviting him to come and to stay in the village. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what the difference was that occurred inside of me, but all of a sudden I had gone from this person that was afraid to say anything or to be around anyone because I knew if I did that people would make me feel like dirt, to being this woman who couldn't wait to tell people about this encounter I had had with this amazing man who offered me living water to quench a thirst I didn't even know I had. You know, I bet there's some here today that know exactly how I have felt for many years, that know that shame and guilt. I don't know your story. But I know someone who does. I know someone who can meet you where you are and can tell you your story, not to call you out, but to give you a chance to be free. You see, that's what he did for me. He freed this person inside of me that I had buried for so long. All of that shame and guilt all of a sudden just fell off of my shoulders. And for the first time in years, I felt alive. Just because of one conversation and a drink of water. Oh, not water that you play in or wash clothes in or draw from a well. But that water that he described that bubbles up inside when you realize you've been forgiven, that God's grace is yours. If there are some of you here today that are struggling with that kind of shame, that kind of guilt, I hope you hear him say to you today, have this water. Drink this water. This well that I give you will never, ever run dry. This water I give you gives you life. It gave me life. Now, as I said, I love going to the well. I can't wait. I hurry through breakfast so that I can be ready as soon as I hear the ladies making their way to the well, and I run out and join them, and they don't go to the other side of the road either. They wrap their arms around me, they welcome me, and then off we go. Off we go to draw water. And just about every time we go, they want me to tell them my story again. Oh, how I love to tell my story. I love to tell my story because it's a story about living again. I thank God for that day when I met this man at the well. I thank God for giving me the nerve to go ahead and engage him in conversation instead of turning and walking back home like I had first thought of doing. I thank God for giving me the courage to run back to my village and tell them about him. I never thought I would do anything like that. And there I was without any hesitation, going to tell, to proclaim that I had met who I thought maybe was the Messiah. What a wonderful day that was. What a wonderful day that was. And that day can be yours too. That day can be yours. It's amazing to have also seen the change in the village. Because there are other ladies and gentlemen who are not always thought of well by the community. But you know what? Since that day when I came back and told my story, I've noticed even the village has acted differently towards people that they at one time shunned. Now they take time to sit down and listen to them, to hear their story about what's going on in their life. They've actually begun to care about one another. And to help one another. I'll admit it's not been easy for me since that day as far as how I live because, well, I now live alone. I don't live with that man anymore. And I don't have a way to make a real good living. But people have come around me. And it seems like any time I might need something, it just kind of shows up at my doorstep. And so the village has become my family. And now they care for others in the village too. It's been great to see the transformations that have happened just because they have also begun to love others. And so we can do that too. We can help rid people of their shame and their guilt just by loving them and listening to them as Jesus did to me. Won't you join me in doing that? That will change your life as well. It will change it in a big way. Well, I know you all have a lot to do today, so I won't keep you much longer. But one thing that I did learn from being with Jesus is to take the chance to pray with people. I'm not afraid to do that anymore either. So can I pray with you? Let us pray. Oh God, there are many people in our villages who struggle with shame and guilt, and it hides who you have created them to be. It isolates them from others. It also isolates them from themselves because they don't like who they think they are. But you know them like you know us. And you know how to unveil that mask they hide behind and to bring forth that person. That person that can live with freedom and love, that can tell the world about how wonderful you are in your grace and forgiveness. I know, because I experienced it. If there's anyone here today, Lord, who is struggling with that shame and that guilt, is hiding behind that, I pray that they know that they can come to you as if this altar is a well, and you will meet them there and offer them living water. I pray if there are any here today that look at others and think they're of no good, that you can help them see behind the mask they're wearing and see who you have created them to be so that they can come alongside them and with you help unveil that mask. Lord, I am so grateful for the water you offered me that day. And you're right. That well has never run dry. In fact, it overflows. And I love it. Amen.